The lion shall lie down with the lamb, but the lamb won't get much sleep. There's an honesty about that quote, which is attributed to, among other people, Woody Allen and Douglas Templeton. I mean, can you see a lion not being tempted to do what lions do if there was a lamb snuggled in beside it? In our reading from Isaiah this morning, we have a vision of a new world order. Wolves and sheep will live together in peace, and leopards will lie down with the young goats. Calves and lion cubs will feed together, and little children will take care of them. Cows and bears will eat together, and their calves and cubs will lie in peace. Lions will eat straw as cattle do, and even a baby will not be harmed if it plays near a poisonous snake. And this is to come about when a new king arises out of the line of King David. And this new king will have everyone bowing before them, we're told. Isaiah and his people lived in dire times. Isaiah was a prophet during one of the most turbulent periods in Judah's history, some 700 plus years before the birth of Jesus. Early in his career, which lasted for about 40 years, the kingdom of Judah became a vassal of Assyria and a rapidly expanding power in the Levant. Around 735 BC, the nations of Aram and Israel threatened to invade Jerusalem, the capital city of Judah, if King Ahaz did not join their anti-Assyrian coalition. Later, Assyria invaded Judah to suppress a rebellion by King Hezekiah in 701 BC. As a prophet, Isaiah delivered messages from Yahweh about these events to political leaders and the social elites in Jerusalem. And in our reading that we heard from Isaiah 11, the prophet looked to a time that a new leader would come. An inspirational leader will appear, one who is so closely in tune with God that his judgments are entirely fair and just. He will not be swayed by what he sees or hears from the world around him, but is guided by God's Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding which rests upon him, we read. Before this leader can appear, however, some radical changes need to take place. This new leader is described as sprouting from the stump of Jesse, Jesse being the father of King David. This new leader is related to Israel's past. He has the same blood flowing in his veins as the greatest king the nation has ever known, one who ruled in a now legendary time of prosperity and peace. But this new sprout can only come to life if the old sterile wood is cut away from the tree so only a stump remains. The technique of pollarding trees has been known since Roman times. Trees such as oak and beech or willow would be cut back to the crown to encourage the growth of multiple fine shoots for use as fuel, fence posts, or in the case of willow, for basket weaving. If pollarding metaphorically is what is required for God's people to be receptive to the new leader who will come to lead them back into the ways of righteousness and peace, then the lessons for our time start to become apparent. We have to be willing to let go of the past in order for new life to come. If we are too tentative in our pruning, letting old structures stay a bit longer out of sentiment or fear, then the new shoot will never have a chance to grow. And the new branch is nothing like the old one. It is slender, weak, seemingly insignificant by comparison with all that has been in the past. But this is the work of God's Spirit and the only way forward for future growth. We read this passage on the second Sunday in Advent because since earliest times, the Christian church has seen Jesus as the new sprout of Isaiah's vision. His story is shaped in such a way as to highlight the comparisons. It's worth noting then that the promised leader, the shoot of Jesse, is no cute little baby in a stable, but a resolute judge who will stand up for the meek of the earth while reversing the work of creation where the wicked are concerned, killing them with the breath of his lips. This new leader will have the Spirit of the Lord resting on them. And this is a promise of a person, a human king who embodies all the Israelites wanted in a leader. He will know the Lord's will and honor him, we read, and find pleasure in obeying him. He will not judge by appearance or hearsay. He will judge the poor fairly and defend the rights of the helpless. At his command, the people will be punished and evil persons will die. He will rule his people with justice and integrity. But, and it's a big but, there will be a new order of things. In contrast to the usual Near Eastern imagery of kings encountering predatorial animals, especially lions, and an ensuing struggle in which the righteous king is victor. It was the killing of lions that demonstrated one's worthiness to rule and was a sign of divine favor. For example, in his bid to fight Goliath, David demonstrates his royal credibility when he says to Saul, "Your servant used to keep sheep for his father, and whenever a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock, I went after it and struck it down, rescuing the lamb from its mouth. And if it turned against me, I'd catch it by the jaw, strike it down, and kill it. Your servant has killed both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, since he has defied the armies of the living God." And David continued, "The Lord who saved me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will save me from the hand of this Philistine." David was not just acting in his story like a shepherd, but he was illustrating his kingness, his power too. But unlike his ancient Near Eastern contemporaries, the divinic ruler of Isaiah 11 does not hunt lions. Rather, he mysteriously remakes them. This new king will be different. Things will be different. A new world order. Wolves and sheep living together in peace, leopards lying with young goats, calves and lion cubs eating together, and little children looking after them, cows and bears eating together, and their calves and cubs settling down together too in peace, and even a baby won't be harmed if it was left playing near a poison snake. This new king, in our Christian understanding, is understood to be Jesus, the new king from the line of David. And we all know the genealogy of Jesus can be found in both Matthew and Luke's Gospels, and in one it leads from David to Jesus, and the other from Jesus to David, or back even as far as Abraham. And yet there are differences between the king of Isaiah's prophecy and Jesus. Their ministries, their way of being king, are different. Jesus certainly had a powerful ministry, and he continues to minister graciously in the present through word and sacrament and the way that we live our lives. But evil still flourishes. The poor and meek remain afflicted. Predators continue to kill their prey. Violence still exists. Indeed, the land of Jesus, is one of the most conflicted parts in our world. And the earth is far from being full of the knowledge of the Lord. If Isaiah were the criteria by which Jesus' ministry were to be judged, then one would have to conclude, on the whole, that it fell far short. Christ's victory remains a hidden victory, or even an unaccomplished one. And therefore it begs the question, was Jesus a failed Messiah? And I wouldn't blame you if you've just taken a sharp intake of breath at that suggestion. Because we know that Jesus most definitely was not a failure. But it is clear from the world that we live in that the prophecy of Isaiah was not lived out in Jesus' earthly time and has still not been lived out. And as we approach again celebrating his birth, this is brought into sharp focus. The first Sunday of Advent was about hope. And traditionally, today, the second candle that we light is about peace. The worlds of Isaiah and our world today are similar, and neither are we living in peaceful times. The lions will still snap up a lamb given half a chance. And we could all think of situations that could run counter to Isaiah's utopian vision. People we love who are ill, places in the world where there are conflicts, a world order that seems unfair, unspeakable evil perpetrated on vulnerable people. And we could be here all day if we kept on trying to list them. I wonder if we need a new Isaiah, someone to point us back to what things should be like, to point us to the peaceful vision God gave for his world. We don't need another Jesus. Our Jesus is enough. Jesus in his life taught us all that we need to know about how to work towards the vision that Isaiah was giving. Sometimes people are prophets without knowing it. A word, an action, and it doesn't need to be big. And then now and again, people come along who shake us all up. Think of the impact that David Attenborough has had with regards to our use of plastic. His Blue Planet program about the ocean affected people, and now more and more of us are trying to use less plastic and certainly recycle much more than we used to. And then there's Greta Thunberg, whom I extolled to you a few months ago. Just as Jesus did with the Pharisees and Sadducees, her followers have roundly been criticized by the adult leaders of their communities. And Greta said, "How dare you?" with her whole person filled with emotion as she described the leaders of the world as obsessed with money and careless of the future of the planet. And those world leaders, many who subscribe to their values, have not been slow to rebuke Greta Thunberg. And she's faced a barrage of insults on social media and in the media in general. The powerful message she brings has a force of truth. The polar regions have a crisis we cannot control. The Amazon, the lungs of the world, have suffered irreversible damage. And the Victoria Falls are practically empty. And the people who live on the Zambezi fear they will never see its annual floods again in their lifetime. The radical protester who has a plant-based diet or eats only foraged foods or only eats sustainable raised meat or whatever the protest is a necessary part of society facing a crisis. We need to see extremes in order to get the main body of opinion to shift. The oddly dressed John the Baptist comes to mind, doesn't he? A strange insect-eating prophet pointing the way, pointing to Isaiah's promise of a someone coming. We need voices like John the Baptist, like David Attenborough's, like Greta Thunberg's, to remind us and wake us up to what's happening in our world. And then we need to walk with Jesus and act like Jesus and love like Jesus. Then and only then is there any hope of the lion and lamb snuggling down together and any hope of Advent peace coming to the world. This week, we have an election. There's no escaping it. And those of you who were here on Wednesday evening for the hustings meeting will have witnessed how impassioned some people are about the election. Maybe you're one of the impassioned, Or maybe you're a little bit more meh about the whole thing. Whatever happens this week, we all have to live with the result. And it is my prayer that whatever the result, Isaiah's words can act as a reminder to us all of the world that God envisaged. We know our world is not perfect and unlikely ever to be so. Isaiah's vision is just that, a vision of the ideal. And yet God created this world, the one that we live in. I finish with a reflective prayer written by one of my colleagues in the Spill the Beans writing team. And they wrote this. A world of vegetarian lions and mild-mannered leopards. It's very kind of you, God, but no thank you. That wouldn't be much fun on a safari holiday, would it, if the lions were all chewing the cud and the wolves were on crash duty? David Attenborough might finally have to retire. A world in which children could play safely with wild animals and parents needn't worry if their toddlers were out of sight. Now, that's tempting, God, but no, because children in that world wouldn't be real children, and snakes wouldn't be real snakes. A world without danger, without even the possibility of harm. Please don't be offended, God, but the answer is still no. No danger means no need for courage or self-sacrifice, no urgency about working for change, no need for the strong to look out for the weak. This is the world that you made, God, and not some perfect other. This is the world that you looked on and smiled and said it was good. This is the world that you loved and still do and always will. Help us to care for it together. Help us work for peace together. Amen.